Amen. Appreciate what's been said and ask your continued interest in your prayers. A lot of what we intend to say may be some of the same things that Brother Kenneth has covered, but I hope it never gets old. Now, I know you just heard it, but I want to take a little different approach to some of these. If you remember last Sunday, we left the Lord in the tomb. That's terrible, isn't it? But I hope you thought about it this week. I hope you've been thinking about what we talked about last week. And really, one of the things that I tried to emphasize last week was a kind of a timeline. And I don't want to just go item, but I do want to finish up this portion of scripture. I've tried to bring a lot of these things together. You know, we've got four accounts of the gospel, and so you have to read here and you read there. And one of the things that could be very confusing if you're not a good Bible student is Sabbath. Sabbath. Because there are actually two Sabbaths in this week. Got it? I know there's the weekly Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, all right? And then Sunday morning begins the, you know, as he rose on the first day of the week, all right? But when you're reading the scriptures, you'll find that, and the way we talked last week, we talked about how that they had the Passover, or they observed the Passover, and then the Last Supper was on Tuesday night. Tuesday evening. And then after that, when they left the upper room and they went to the garden and Jesus prayed and he was betrayed and they came and took him and all through that night, all night long, he was praying, then he was arrested, then he was taken to Annas' house, then he was taken to Caiaphas, the present high priest. Then he was taken to Pilate. Then he was taken to Herod. Then he was brought back to Pilate. No doubt he was physically exhausted from just all of the events and no sleep. And then when the sentence was pronounced, they scourged him. They beat him. They weakened him before nailing him to the cross. Brethren, like Brother Kenneth said, think on these things. Let these things sink down in your ears and find a lodging place in your heart. And consider these things. And consider what our Lord suffered for us. Because what he suffered at the hands of men was more than we would want to endure.
That's right.
But then in those 3 hours of darkness, as the Father poured out his wrath, as the Father withdrew his presence and poured out his wrath upon him to pay for those sins. It's more suffering than we'll ever understand this side of glory. It's more suffering than we could ever endure. But he gladly, not that he had any joy in it, but his delight was to do the will of the Father. And for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, as we think about what he endured for us. And as the, now that was all of the things that we just described, was on Wednesday. And by 6 o'clock in the evening, remember we talked about last week, and you probably already know, the Jewish day began at 6 o'clock in the evening. Remember Genesis? The evening and the morning were the first day. Their day began in the evening. Okay? Reminiscent of creation. God said, "Let there be light." It was darkness first, all right? The evening and the morning were the first day. All right? Now, also remember, Jesus said in Matthew 12 that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it except that of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas, or Jonah in the Old Testament, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. How long was Jesus in the tomb? A piece of one day, a whole day, and a piece of another? 3 days and 3 nights. He made the point to emphasize to us that there shall no sign be given but that of the prophet Jonah. And Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale. All right? I know the Old Testament says great fish. Jesus said a whale. So they're the same thing, aren't they? By the way, when it said a great fish in the Old Testament, it said God had prepared a great fish. Now, I think I made this point last week. I love thinking about that because, see, what that shows us is that this is something that God purposed. That he didn't wait to see what the circumstances were surrounding Jonah running away from God to do anything, but he was already preparing this great fish before Jonah was thrown over the side. My point is, God purposes to do, and he does his will, like Nebuchadnezzar said, in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? He will do his will. And he made the point to point out to us that Jonah, as Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days. All right, so they observed the Passover. The Last Supper was on Tuesday night. At 6 o'clock of that evening began Wednesday. And all of those events, and last week we just covered one day of all of those things that happened to our Lord in that last 24 hours. Oh, that day, Wednesday. All right? Now, when he was on the cross, they broke the legs of those thieves on each side, right? Do you remember why? Case of the dead, they had to have them off the cross by when? 6 o'clock. Because the next day was Sabbath. Wait a minute. That's Thursday. Sabbath? Thursday? Is our math wrong? No. That was a high day. That was a high Sabbath. According to the scriptures. Remember, the Passover was the 14th day of Nisan. All right? On the 14th day, they were to kill the Passover. And on the 15th day, it was a high day. Well, they observed the Passover. The next day was a high day. Even though it was Thursday, middle of the week, so to speak, it was Thursday. It was a Sabbath, a high day. Let me read Numbers 28. Just very quickly here. Time's getting away. Numbers 28 says, and in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. That's what we've been talking about that was observed that Tuesday evening. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. In the first day shall be the holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servile work therein. That was a high day. That was a Sabbath. They were to rest on that day and not do any servile work. In other words, you don't plan to do anything. You don't do any work that you choose to do. You know, the law had some provisions about some out of the ordinary circumstances you could attend to, but you weren't to do any work. This was a Sabbath. This was a high day, all right, and the law required that, but that was like middle of the week, all right? So they had to get them off the cross, but when they came to Jesus, Jesus was already dead. They didn't have to break his leg. And that was prophesied, wasn't it? The Passover lamb, Exodus chapter 12, not a bone of him shall be broken. Jesus was already dead. He had already commended, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He bowed his head and yielded up the ghost. He was dead. When they came, they saw he was already dead. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to prepare Jesus' body and place it in Joseph's tomb. Right? And they did that before that high Sabbath drew on. Okay? Now, what happens after that? Do we have anything? I mean, do we have anything in the scriptures that tells us about what was happening after that? There was a Brother Kenneth mentioned the fact that these women brought the spices to anoint Jesus' body. All right. One of the writers says that they went and prepared for these things. Well, if they must have had them on hand, because this was a day of preparation and the Sabbath drew on when they couldn't attend to going out and buying these things. In their culture, the people who bought and sold these kinds of things would have been closed down in observance of the Sabbath. Okay? There was a few hours early in the day that they might have. Josephus mentions it some in one of his Antiquities, book 12, I think it is. He mentioned something about that practice. But nevertheless, these women had to rest for the time that Jesus was in the tomb, all right, for Thursday and then Friday until Saturday evening at 6 p.m. So you have to go from Tuesday, 6 p.m., on Wednesday when he suffered, and then he was placed in the tomb on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m., Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday. Saturday at 6 p.m. completed the 3 days. So sometime Saturday at 6 p.m., after 6 p.m., would begin the first day of the week. Jesus arose sometime during the night or early in the morning. We don't know exactly. When the women came, one of the writers said that they said, "Who shall roll the stone away for us?" You know, there was some courage here. Now, I don't know. We know from the scriptures. I don't know if these women knew that the Pharisees had gone to Pilate and had a seal put on that tomb so that it couldn't be opened. I don't know if they knew that or not. If they did, it didn't matter. They were going to come to that tomb. They were going to prepare. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus with these spices. Now, like Brother Kenneth said, they came to anoint a dead body. Aren't you glad they were disappointed? At least initially. But listen, I could go through a list of events, but let's just, first of all, Mary Magdalene, John, if you read John's account of John chapter 20, it sounds like Mary Magdalene's the only one that went to the tomb first, very early in the morning. She found the stone rolled away. She found he wasn't there. The angel told her, you know, as Brother Kenneth read, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Okay. Well, the angel said he's not here. He's risen. Okay. Then he said, go tell my brethren. I love that. Go tell my brethren. You know, I've shared with you many times in Hebrews, I believe it's, what is it, chapter 2, where it says that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. As Brother Kenneth went through the fact that we're sinners, if nothing more than by Adam. Okay? Sinners by nature. Before we even had an opportunity to transgress the law. But we are sinners. And the vile sinners that we are. To read that he says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That tells me the extent to which he has put away our sins. If he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Oh, think about it, brethren. So she was told, go tell my brethren that I go before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see me. You know, he did say, because I live, ye shall live also. And he died, like you heard. You know what? I've already let the cat out of the bag, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Who was the first mortal that understood that Jesus was alive? Mary Magdalene. Well, no, wait a minute. It had to be Peter. Or maybe John. John was the one that the Lord loved. No, it was Mary Magdalene. She was there early at the tomb. She was the first one to see it was empty. She was the first one to see the Lord. She was the first one to understand he's alive. I don't need these spices. He's alive. And guess what? She's also the first one to carry this glorious message. Not Peter. Not John. Mary Magdalene. What a privilege. The very first one to carry the message to the apostles and tell them he's alive. Oh, man. You know, before that, when she went and told them, He's not there. Peter and John ran to the tomb and they looked in and they saw what she said was true. But you know what else, what was said after that? They turned and went to their own home. Now, I know it's dangerous to speculate, but you know, what would happen if they had just hung around a little while? They didn't. They went home, wondering at these things. Mary Magdalene stayed, and she was weeping at the tomb, and the Lord appeared to her. Let me tell you something. Wednesday night, we talked about Mary Magdalene. What a powerful disciple, an example of discipleship that is. The courage that she had, the faithfulness that she had, the deep love that she had for her Lord. But when she first saw him, she wanted to hold him. He said, touch me not. Now I understand some look at that and they understand what that saying is, stop clinging to me. And perhaps the idea is that she needed to learn more about worshiping Jesus more than just in his bodily presence. Because he's about to go back to heaven. She wouldn't see him anymore. But she needed to continue to love him. She needed to continue to be faithful to him just as much in his absence as she ever did in his presence. And that's a lesson to all of us. We didn't have the privilege of being with him during his bodily presence, but we should love him and serve him and be devoted to him just as much, seeing that he's in heaven right now, because he's coming back to get us someday. And he deserves our adoration. He deserves our praise. He deserves our devotion above all others because of what he's done for us. That was the first day of the next week, by the way. The first day of the next week. There were some, like the two on the road to Emmaus. They had trusted. You know, Jesus appeared to them, but they didn't understand who he was. And he asked them some questions. Not that he needed to know any answers, but for them to know what they were thinking. And they said, "We trusted." And by their answers, see, we understand where they are. Their hope was gone because they thought Jesus was still dead. We trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And besides this is the third day. And the women that were early at the tomb said, "He's risen, he's not there." When Jesus did appear to them later, he upbraided them, according to Mark. He upbraided them for their unbelief and their hard heart. But Jesus appeared to them several times. And I'm having to give you the thumbnail sketch, but you're familiar with the scriptures. Jesus appeared to them. Made himself known unto them. The doors were shut and he just appeared. They were frightened. They were frightened. They thought they were seeing a spirit. He said, "Handle me. See, a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have." And then when they understood, they rejoiced. But Thomas wasn't there, was he? Did he miss anything by not being there? Kind of like when you're not at church sometime and have a good meeting. You miss something. Thomas missed something. Thomas missed the first opportunity those apostles had of seeing the Lord. But he was there 8 days later, and Jesus appeared to them again. Thomas had said, "Except I put my finger in the print of the nails, except I thrust my hand in his side, I'll not believe." Brethren, aren't you glad this morning that you don't have to put your finger in the print of the nails, that you don't have to thrust your hand to the side before you can believe? Oh, God has blessed us with faith. God has blessed us to understand that he is alive. Now, when Jesus appeared to them 8 days later and Thomas was there that day, Jesus gave him that opportunity. No record that he took advantage of it. But he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus pointed out to him, "Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which having not seen, yet believe." Brethren, we are blessed this morning. We are blessed to understand these miraculous events, what God had purposed from before the foundation of the world. And as we understand how the scriptures laid it out for us and how all these things unfolded for us, just exactly the way God purposed for them to be. Now, I'm not talking about absolute predestination. You know that. I'm talking about those things which God purposed. They're going to come to pass. And they did just exactly the way God intended, just exactly the way the prophets had spoken, just exactly right on time, Jesus finished the work of redemption. We have eternal redemption through his shed blood. And bless your hearts, he's alive today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there to make intercession for us. And we can rejoice every day we live. And he's alive. He's risen from the dead. Oh, bless your hearts as we think about that empty tomb. I may mention the fact that there's a man that we heard on a cassette tape. I believe you can find it still on YouTube, Dr. S.M. Lockridge. And I think the name of the message is My King or something like that. I'll get that for you if you're interested. Anyway, he made the statement. He said, it used to bother me that our Lord was placed in a borrowed tomb. But the point he made was, after he thought about it a while, he said, well, that's okay. He's not going to leave. He's not going to need it long anyway. Oh, bless your hearts. He arose victorious over death, hell, grave. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Not only did he say that, but he proved it. He demonstrated his power over death. And what is that for you today? He said, because I think I've settled on that as my favorite verse of scripture. Because I live, he said. Oh, and before that, he said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Do you know after his resurrection, he didn't appear to the world? Now, he went in and amongst the multitudes before that, but after his resurrection, he didn't appear to the world. He did appear to over 500 brethren at once. Do you know when that was? Do you? You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul's talking about how that after his resurrection, he rose again according to the scriptures, and he appeared to different ones, and then he said, and he appeared to over 500 brethren at once, after his resurrection. Now, in my mind, I've settled on where that must have been, and I could be wrong, but it's the only place I know in scripture that would give us some indication that many people could have time to assemble before he showed up to them. And that was, he told them he was going before them into Galilee. And there ye shall see me. He gave advance notice. Don't you know that word spread? Don't you know the word spread among the brethren? He's in Galilee. We know where he's going to be. That's the best indication I find in Scripture of where that event could have been, where he would have been seen above 500 brethren. My point in this is these things were not done in a corner. It was done openly. It was God's purpose from the foundation of the world. Jesus came and manifested that purpose, and he fulfilled all that the Father sent him to do. And he went to the cross, and he went to the tomb. And bless your hearts, he came forth just like he said he would, just when he said he would, just like he said he would. He arose from the dead. I tell you, if we could just think about that every day we live, if we could just think about what our Lord has done for us and the fact that he said, because I live. Now, if you'd have been around while he was in the tomb, you might not have gotten too much comfort out of that verse of scripture. But bless your heart, since then, now that he's alive, now that he's ascended into heaven, now that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we have the promise he's coming back for us. Remember one of those songs we sang this morning? My Lord is coming for his bride. In the earlier editions of our songbook, that used to say he's coming to his bride. I like this better. He's coming for his bride. He's just not coming back to us. He's coming back for us to take us home, to be with him forever, with all the redeemed family. And John chapter 6 says, without the loss of one. What a family reunion it's going to be for all of God's people. May we rejoice. Now, this weekend has been off. I'm sure a lot is being said about the resurrection of our Lord. But it's something we can rejoice about 24/7, 365 and a fourth days every year. May God help us to rejoice that He is risen and that we're able to believe it. May God bless you is our prayer.